Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Ephesians 5:1-21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as wise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Heavenly Father, we welcome you here again. We know you're here. We know you're with us. We know you're in us. Lord, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That all of us, Lord, as we go through your word, as we hear your word, that, Lord, you would speak to us directly. Into each one of our own lives. Show us how to walk, the life that you've called us to. Lord, we humble ourselves today saying we don't have it all in check. We don't know everything. But Lord, we know you and we want to know you more. Would you reveal yourself to each one of us? Lord, would you bring transformation into our hearts, into our lives? Would you renew our minds? We want to be on the same page with you, Lord. So we just commit the rest of our time together to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So verse 1 says, therefore be imitators. Be imitators of God as beloved children. To imitate. To follow. To follow God's example. Imitate. Have you ever tried to imitate someone? Be imitators. It says, as beloved children. For those of you with kids, think about your children. Think about the things they do. With our kids, we're like, dude, stop rolling your eyes. You don't roll your eyes at me. The next thing, We notice ourselves rolling our eyes. Like, hey, babe, I think actually they're getting that from us. Because they've seen us rolling our eyes. Well, there's language that we use. And we hear them saying it, like, you don't say that. Oh, but Dad says it. The best one is this one. Zach's like, this is fun. I'm like, what's that? Oh, that's what Mom says. And then I've realized she does say that. Anytime anything's like, guys, this is fun. But it's like they just get it. They imitate. But you know, there's a difference between imitating and mimicry, like mimicking. Animals can mimic what someone does, but they don't really get the heart of it. Mimicking is about the external. Sometimes we can try and imitate, but when it doesn't really hit us, we're just mimicking. But we're being called to be imitators of God. My kids just haven't got the heart of some stuff that I try to teach them. I'm like, moisturize your whole body from head to toe. I'm like, we're black, bro. Like, seriously, if you don't moisturize, you get ashy. Like, it looks white, a weird white. But they just don't get it because they haven't got the heart of moisturizing. Like, this smooth skin that I'm encouraging them to look up to and to attain, it comes through just, it's so natural for me now, moisturizing. Can't live without it. Did you pack that Nivea for the holiday? See, they haven't got the heart of it. But one day I'm telling you they're going to get it because I got it. But that when you imitate God, it's actually internal and external. It's a heart thing. And then how we act, how we think comes out of knowing our Father. What is it to imitate God? It's to observe. See, our kids will do things we do because they walk with us. They see us every day. There's close proximity. So when we talk about imitating God, it says, as beloved children. It's about proximity. How close are you to God? How much are you observing His Word, looking at it, to actually know, how can I actually imitate? How can I be the person He's called me to be? Where to observe, watch, and walk with Him? How are we actually to imitate God? In Ephesians 5, it tells us, the next line says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is how we're to imitate Jesus. We're to walk in love. Watch your step. Are you stepping in love? Am I stepping in love? As Christ loved us, He gave us the example. He's the example. He's the ultimate example that we're to follow. It says that Christ gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we think about love, do we just think about receiving? Or do we actually think about giving? Love is a sacrifice. Yes, we'll receive, but it doesn't say anything there about how Jesus received. It says He gave. He gave Himself up for us as a sacrifice to God. When you talk about love, agape, unconditional love, it's a love that goes beyond affection. It goes beyond affection to a self-sacrificing love. Sacrificing ourselves. Giving of ourselves. Love is about benefiting others at the expense of self. Benefiting others at your expense, that's love. You think about lust, which is so much of the opposite of love. Lust is about benefiting self at the expense of others. Jesus showed us his love. What an example. He took our place. He took your place. He took my place. Jesus took our place. He paid the ultimate price. He suffered. He died. He was nailed to a cross. He rose again so that we could have his love. We could walk in relationship with God. But he actually took our place so that we could share in his place. He says we're seated in heavenly places. We now have a relationship with God, a love relationship, because Jesus showed us so much love and gave us his place. We share that with him. Union with the Lord. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in me and I in you. So we're called to walk in love. Who calls us to walk in love? The Lord. God calls us to walk in love. But we're told in 1 John that God is love. So the one who calls us to walk in love, he himself is love. The one who calls us to walk in love gives of himself. He gives us love so that we can be love. And he gives us what we need. He gives us himself so we can walk in love. So am I stepping in love? Am I walking in love? See, the love is in us. God is in us. Can you feel the love? Who's got the love? We've got the love. It's in us. But why is it that we struggle to walk it out sometimes? Why is it that Paul is here telling these people that they need to walk in love? Why is it that they were struggling? Why is it that you and I struggle sometimes? I think it's because something takes his place in our life. Things take God's place in our lives. So then we struggle to actually walk in him, walk in love. Because something or someone or some addiction or maybe myself in my own life, maybe yourself, you can be the one taking God's place. Because we're just serving self. Self-serving sacrifice. Man, I'm sacrificing. What for? For yourself. For myself. Oh, for my family. I'm working so hard, man. 24-hour days. Who is it for? And sometimes we can say it's for family, it's for this. But we've got to remember, actually, God needs to have the first place. And what we do with our time, what we do with our emotions and our heart is to flow out of that. And he will lead you to walk in love. So what I want to ask you this morning is, what is taking his place in your life? We're all being sanctified. We're all being purified to become more like Jesus. None of us have arrived. And there's always tension. There's always a challenge. There's always things to address. What could be taking his place in my life? It says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, I think in the NIV and other translations, it actually says there should not be a hint of these things in your life. There should not be a hint of these specific things in your life. And Paul says to the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. There should not be a hint of sexual immorality, of any impurity, of covetousness among them, among us, among people of God. Oh, he said saints. I'm not a saint. It's referring to all of us. Saints are people of God, people that have said yes to the Lord. He's talking to you and I. What is taking his place? He talks about sexual immorality. So if I'm struggling with sexual sin in my life, what does that mean? Does that mean God doesn't love me? Does that mean I'm not saved? No. You got to get the context of what he's talking about here. A few chapters before in your Bible, if you flip back to chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of work, so that no one may boast." So we're saved not by works, but by grace, by faith. But when you receive that grace that's available to anyone and everyone who says yes to Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life." We receive that grace. But then we have to walk in a manner that reflects that grace. We can't then just go, "Oh, thank you for your grace, but I'm just going to do this. And I'm going to, because it doesn't affect my salvation." We actually have to reflect his grace, reflect his love. And that's what he's talking about here. He says sexual immorality should not even be named among. What's sexual immorality? It's sex without morals. Immorality. It is any sexual activity outside marriage. Talk about prostitution, talk about pornography, talk about homosexuality, talk about a couple that's dating and they're doing that. That's sexual immorality. So he's saying that should not be named among you. See, Ephesus, the people he was talking to, it was home to the temple of Diana. They all worshipped the god of Artemis. And part of that was through prostitution. What we call human trafficking today was for them part of their worship. So he's saying none of that should be named among you. You shouldn't be getting into that. See, sex is such a gift from the Lord. But sex is like a fire. It burns. And when you go set up a fire, how warm does that feel? How nice is it to get a marshmallow on a stick and just enjoy warming that thing up and then you just, But see, that sex is like a fire. And what God designed it for is for marriage. So marriage is like a fireplace. That's the setting that God created for sex. Marriage. It's joyful. There's pleasure. There's reproduction. He said, "Go forth and multiply." It's safe. It's good. It's as he has designed. But the enemy and sin tries to take that away. If I just start a fire here right now where there's no fireplace, it's going to burn, right? But it's going to destroy the place. We're going to get burnt. So it's the same thing. If sex is not in the right setting, it actually leads to destruction. It destroys hearts. It destroys relationship. There's no doubt it's going to feel good at the time. But especially if you've given your life to God and then you're in that, God says, "I am jealous for you." So his spirit's in you. And when you get involved in that, as much as there might be some sort of joy, the Lord's still going, mm-mm. So then it's like, what's the point? Because by the end of it, you're not even happy. But it leads to destruction. God's created it for marriage. So sexual immorality. And we all need help with things like that and many other things. It's about who you're talking to about this. Go back to the Word. God wouldn't design things like this and go, "Oh, well, up to you." He actually helps where we need help. So just because the world's doing it doesn't mean it's right. And this scripture, these 21 verses, Paul addresses so many things. Alcohol, what we say with our words. He's just going for it all. But they're all things that there's a lot of controversy around. It's very controversial. And you're not going to hear this every day in a church, which is sad. Because this is, we can come here and we can sing, but then still be stuck. So he says sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20. Write this one down. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20. But Steve, you don't know what it's like being single. You don't know what it's like when my wife left me. I don't. But God knows. Talk to him about it. Get help from your brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That's why we've got to talk about this. It says there's no other sin where you sin against your body. Like when people are that intimate with one another, they actually form soul ties. So you could be done with that person, but you've spiritual stuff, darkness has caught on to you. And you've actually got to deal with that. You've got to get someone, pray about that, to renounce and to break those things. So there's so much in the things that we don't talk about enough. And then he talks about idolatry. He talks about covetousness. See, what's idolatry? Idolatry is worshiping anything else above God. That's idolatry. It doesn't mean you're worshiping like an idol, like an icon or something. It's just putting anything else before God. That's idolatry. You know, serving in church could be an idol. Your work could be an idol. Your children could be an idol. It's just, what are you putting before God? Because, like I said, he is jealous for us. The first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, God says, have no other gods before me, for I'm a jealous God. And he's jealous for us, and he doesn't want to keep stuff away from us. But he knows what's good for you, what's good for me. So we start with him, and everything flows out of him. He is a loving God. Covetousness. What's to covet? You know, the Bible in Exodus says, don't covet someone else's ox. What? I ain't got no issues with that. There's no cows getting around here. But coveting is yearning to possess what belongs to someone else. And then actually trying to make it happen. Oh, they've got that. Oh, I'd love to get to that. And then just doing whatever you've got to do to make it happen. You know, it could be as bad as, oh, look at who that guy's married to. Oh, I work with her. Oh, next thing, committing adultery just to get what you want. Covetousness. But it could be things to us that seem smaller. Lord, put things on our heart. Show us what we could be coveting. Paul's got everyone covered. He's got you covered. He's got me covered in what he's saying here. He says all impurity. He says filthy talk, crude jokes. He says none of that should be noticed or seen among you. Do we have any Aussies in the house today? If you're here, you're Aussie. We're all Australians. Have you ever paid anyone out before? Have you ever been paid out? What's paid out? I didn't even know what that was. But Aussies love to joke at other people's expense. You know it. We've all done it. Oh, it's just part of the culture. Like, I struggled with some loved ones because they just started with that. I'm like, man, I'm from Zimbabwe. I respect my elders. So before you can make jokes with me, let's build some relationship. But no, that's just part of the culture. But actually, when you pay someone out, you're putting them down. Oh, everyone's going to laugh. I'm funny. But who gets the last laugh? Satan gets the last laugh. Because you don't know that joke, what that brings up for someone. You don't know how it just destroys them. And we can just think they're just light jokes. But how does that actually reflect God's grace, God's love? We don't have to do it just because of culture. But we carry the Holy Spirit. We love God. So like I'm saying, Paul's got everyone covered. What is taking his place? Ephesians 4:29, a few verses before where we are today, says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We are to watch our step. We are to watch how we speak. Am I walking in love? Am I speaking in love? Am I imitating Christ? See, we can walk in love or know to walk in love. We can start to see the things that the Lord wants us to put aside, deal with. But we really need the light. We need the light to shine on those things, to give us direction. He is the light. To actually see what those things are that are taking his place, we need the light, because light exposes darkness. So whatever darkness is in our life, we need light to expose it. What is taking his place in your life? Is it a project that you're working on? Is it a goal that you have, an outcome that you want? Is it your business? Is it your career? Is it your family? Is it an addiction? Is it hidden sin? Or is it a secret that no one else knows about, but it's eating you up so much that it's taking his place in your life? To see those things, you got to let the light in. You got to open up the window and let the light in. You know that song? Just open up the window. Open up the Bible. Let him speak to you. Say, Lord, show me these things. He is the light. So we need to walk in the light. Jesus is the light. We've received the light. We were blind once, but now we see. So verse 8 to 10 says this. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. See, the Lord through his word will put light on things in our life. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, he gives us what we need to actually step in the way that he wants us to step. Sometimes we don't know what's coming 100 meters up, but he just shows us enough for just where we are. Let the light in. Walk in the light. He wants to point with his light. He wants to shine. He wants to laser focus. He wants to show you where you need to grow. He wants to show you where you need to go. See, light exposes. Light attracts. Light directs. We need that light. But we also receive that light to be the light. So walking in the light is not just like, Lord, show me where I'm messing up. Show me what's taking place. We have the light, but it's easy to turn that light off. We have the light. Are we shining the light? There's a story about a couple. They're at home. It's nighttime. There's a power outage. Some of you don't know what that's like. I'm from Africa. There's a thing called load shedding. Electricity just goes because there's not enough electricity. Then you got to run around and get your candles and your torches. But there's this couple, the power goes out. And the wife's like, babe, can you go get some candles? She goes to the closet. The candles are there, but they start making excuses. They don't want to come on. They don't want to be used. He's like, what? He goes back to his wife, babe. They're making excuses. They won't light up. She goes, oh, they're the church candles. See, church candles are the people that are supposed to be lighting up. But we make excuses when we're out at the cafe, when we're out at work, when we're with extended family, where God's saying, shine my light, just be real, do this, do that. And we don't want to light up. We decide to turn our light off. So his wife, that guy, knew you. That's what the church folk do. It's like, oh, it's the church candles. It's silly, but it's true. Are we leaving our lights on? See, as imitators of God, we become the light. We walk in love. We let him take his rightful place. We walk in the light. Ephesians 5, verse 14. It says, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, O sleeper. We're to awake. Isaiah 60, 1 to 2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. It says, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It says, for darkness will cover the earth. It says, for thick darkness will cover the people. Arise. It says, but behold, the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. The glory of the Lord will be seen among you. This is what happens when we walk in the light. Am I stepping in the light? See, when you step in the light, you see clearly which way you should go. When you walk in the light, when you go to the Word, you see clearly. He leads you. He directs you on which way to go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And He will make your path straight. Walk in the light. But even as He shows you those things that you might need to step into or might need to do, you still need to make a choice. We can get all the revelation. We can hear all the messages. We can have all the quiet time with the Lord. But we still need to make a choice daily, hourly, second by second, whatever it is. So we actually need to walk in wisdom. Walk in love. Let Him take His rightful place. Walk in the light. But you need to walk in wisdom. So what does verse 15 say? It says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of time. We all have time, don't we? Some people say, oh, I don't have time. We all have time. We have the same time. But what we need is wisdom on how to use that time. And that can only come from the Lord. And it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear the Lord? Do I fear the Lord? Do I have a reverent, respectful fear of the Lord? But do I have a trembling fear of the Lord too? Because there's some things that we choose to do and some things that we do that if we realize God is in the room and if He showed up and He's there but we don't acknowledge it, we wouldn't do it. Or we wouldn't think that way. We're to walk in the fear of the Lord. We're to understand His will. We're to seek His heart and walk in it. So verse 18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." What is debauchery? Anyone ever heard that word before? Debauchery? Look it up. Some kids were listening to my YouTube and they said to their mom, "Mom, what's debauchery?" Oh, my goodness. So it says wine leads to debauchery. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery just means 00C, out of control. Out of control. 00C is my own thing, by the way. But that's what debauchery is. It leads to doing things in excess. You look it up in the dictionary, we start talking about sex. We start talking about alcohol. We start talking about drugs. That's what being drunk will lead to. That's what he's talking about. Do not get drunk on wine, for it leads to debauchery. But be filled by the Spirit. Sex, money, drugs, all those things, they're all just cheap substitutes for God. Everyone's looking for something that's going to fulfill. Now, I'm not standing here and saying drinking is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It says, it doesn't say don't drink. It says do not get drunk on wine, for it leads to debauchery. If you've been in the church for a long time, you will know there's people who will say, do not drink. Where were you last night? Eh? Have you ever gone to church before and you're like, I've done that before. I'm like, can they smell anything? Because I don't want people being like, this guy. I'm just being real. But there's people who will say, do not drink at all. And then you've got people who will say, it's all good. Drink in moderation. If you're going to hear one in church saying, just go for it, I don't know what Bible they're looking at. But see, in the Bible, there's warnings about drinking. You look in Proverbs, you look in the prophets, they give warnings about the danger of drinking. So you focus so much on that, you're going to go, nah. Or if you've had a past with alcohol that's been bad, you'll just go, nah. But then there's parts in the New Testament that say drink in moderation. There's parts in Timothy that say, hey, a little bit of wine's good for your stomach. It's like, so what is it, Lord? All I can say to you is don't judge those that say do not drink. Don't judge those that say drink in moderation. See, God's given us freedom. But what this is focusing on is don't get drunk on wine. Don't lose yourself to anything, but be filled by the Spirit. In Corinthians, it tells us that everything is permissible. What? It says everything is permissible, but this is what it says. It says, but do not be a slave to anything. Before that, it says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Do not be a slave to anything. What is taking his place in your life? You see, all these things that he's saying, there shouldn't be a hint of them, whether it's sex, drugs, money, career, whatever it is. They all give temporary highs. It's all just temporary. But they never fulfill. But it says, be filled by the Spirit. If I could get the worship team to come up. Be filled by the Holy Spirit, because that's where everlasting joy comes from. That's what God's designed us for, relationship with Him. He's the one who satisfies like no other. For one to walk in wisdom, they need to be full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word. This is what we need. To walk in wisdom, be full of God. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Word. So what happens when we're filled by the Spirit? It says, be filled by the Spirit. What does it say after that? Verse 19. before that, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Then it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What comes out of this? Being filled by the Spirit. It actually changes how we talk. It changes how we talk to one another. It changes how we talk about the church. It changes how we talk about our family, our friends. It changes our speech. It says, sing hymns and melody to one another. It's not saying, oh, happy day, how you doing? How great thou art. You know, it's not saying do that. We can do that if you want, I'm sure. One of my brothers here will like to do that. But it's actually saying, speak to one another in love. Speak thanksgiving. He's talking about healthy relationships. Rejoice always, the Bible tells us. Giving thanks in all circumstances. That's what happens when we walk in love, when we walk in wisdom. We become a people that give thanks, a people that speak well of one another, a people that have unity and healthy relationships. Can we all stand this morning? We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to walk in love. Watch your step. Watch your step. Are you walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called? See, His love is available. God's light is available. His wisdom is available. He is love. He is light. He is wisdom. He's available. Are we stepping in love? Could we all close our eyes? Are we stepping in love? What's taking His place in your life? Are you stepping in the light? Are you stepping in wisdom? I know there's been 21 verses there that have so much in them. But this message is really about walking in His love. And dealing with the things that are trying to take His place. So we can actually walk the walk that He's created us for, that He has destined us for. And to do that, we actually have to recognize and point out the things that are taking God's place in our lives. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want you, between you and God, to just say, is there anything, Lord, that you're putting your light on, your finger on, that's taking your place in my life? Is there anything in my life that is taking your place?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.